Cozy up and get comfortable. You're in the Rebel Room on LasVegasSun.com with Taylor Byrne alongside sports editor Ray Brewer. And Ray, we just got done watching UNLV, you know, get challenged, but eventually come out with a 65-54 victory against UTEP. You know, first thoughts, what did you see?
Well, you know, I saw a team that has fallen into a little bit of a trap of slow starts. Yeah, obviously we saw it last weekend against Wisconsin, and today, I wrote my column first 10 minutes. There was an air ball on a three-pointer, a missed dunk, a guy getting blocked twice on the same possession in Musamba. And, you know, against Wisconsin on the road or Wichita State on the road, you do that, you're not going to come back. A UTEP team with a new roster, you're an 18-point favorite. You're going to be able to overcome those starts and get the win. I did notice, Taylor, first game for UNLV at the MAC in 22 days. Mm-hmm. Late arriving crowd. Not many times where they got excited. They were pretty, you know, low key. Your first game covering the Rebels at the Thomas and Mack. I know you went to Kansas. I know you covered some games in the Big 12. Give us an honest opinion, knowing that some of the Rebel fanatics are going to judge you for eternity on your response.
Yeah, well, certainly, you know, if you were going to unveil this as the judge UNLV's home venue, this isn't what you want to be judged on. Because, like you said, late arriving, not entirely into it. The team had a lot to do with that. In the first half, just a lot of shots, a lot of chances to get a run going, to get the team or to get the crowd behind them and get them going, and they just couldn't execute on it. The Musamba one is just a comedy of errors there. Just not a lot for the crowd to get excited about. But in the second half, when I believe it was the breakaway dunk, that place gets loud and it is exciting. And they wanted to do that. You could kind of feel that they wanted to be that loud. They wanted to get into the game. But, you know, the Rebels didn't give them much reason to. And I think that's going to – if you're looking at this team – that has got to be the biggest concern still. They know, you know, they say they know they've got to play 40 minutes against good teams. It's not going to work. They say all of the right things, but the execution still isn't there. Why are they coming out this flat in all of these games? They say that they're a second half team. Well, you know, why can't you perform that well in the first half?
And see, I kind of gave them a mulligan for tonight. Okay, first
time. Why?
Well, because I'm soft, okay? I'm a UNLV grad, okay? But, you know, first time at home in 22 days, okay, they've been practicing at the North Gym, the South Gym, you know, Doolittle Rec Center, wherever they've been. They've played at the Orleans, you know, Santa Barbara. They've been all over. They haven't shot on those rims in a while, and now they're just getting back in there. Finals week, you know, we're talking young kids. It's tough to adapt, and that's why I kind of give them a pass. Okay, yes, it's a problem. Slow starts, no doubt a problem, but I think on this one instance, I think even if they were undefeated, if they would have blown Wisconsin out, if they would have hung tough even with Wisconsin, I still think they struggled tonight because of all those outside factors. Now we come back, you know, for maybe the Cal game and it's the same way, then we got a red flag and we're waving it in the air and Coach Rice is a little nervous. Mm-hmm. Right now, I give him a pass.
I think that's fair, especially when we're looking at the finals week factor, I think can be a bigger part than most people give credit to, because, you know, when you've been out of college for a long time, you forget how distracting that is. And also, you know, they have another Midwest trip coming up. I don't want to say that they were looking ahead, but it's certainly got to be in their minds that, you know, they've got to take care of business now, but the bigger goal is coming up on the weekend and trying to figure out how to do that. Now, looking at that game, looking ahead to Chicago, you know, a quote-unquote neutral game for UNLV in the United Center against Illinois, I'm not sure that I saw what you know, I would need to from this team to feel confident about their chances coming up. A little bit different in that Illinois, you know, wants to get out and run more than Wichita State and Wisconsin did, but there's a lot of tape now that teams can look at and just say, all right, we're going to slow down. We're comfortable enough with this, and we know that they are not comfortable with it at all.
Yeah, if I'm anybody playing UNLV, there's no way I'm pushing the tempo, because if you throw in the Morgan State game where Morgan State thought they'd give it a chance and UNLV ran them out of the gym, there's no way I'd go to that. big challenge in Illinois. Obviously, UNLV lost to Illinois last year in the tournament. Guess what? Another slow start game, essentially, over at halftime. And I think Illinois is probably overachieved a little bit this year. They're, I think, 18th in the polls right now, the AP poll, 18 or 19, whatever it is. And it is a great opportunity for UNLV to kind of get not only its momentum back and its swagger back, but you remember they're 8-0. They beat North Carolina. They battle into overtime against Santa Barbara and win. They're on Sports Illustrated, USA Today Q&A with Mosier, Yahoo. Everybody's writing about UNLV, and it's like, oh, the Glory A's are back, and now they go and they lose 2-3. Well, here's your chance to kind of recapture a little of that and say, okay, well, maybe that hot start wasn't a fluke, and this team is good. And then if you finish this is your last, you know, with the exception of Cal, which is in your yard, your kind of last non-league test, if you finish, okay, you're now, what, 11-2? I'd hang my hat on 11-2 with a North Carolina win. So I think this game is ultra important. It's not only forget moral victories and forget hanging with them. I think they need a W. They need to find a way to show that they've improved past the Wichita State and Wisconsin losses and that they're in a better team.
Yeah, I think they need to prove that to themselves because they keep saying, like I said, all of the right things. They feel like they're making the changes in practice and feel like they're making progress, but it's not showing up on the court at all. And so I think they need to prove to themselves that they do know, you know, what needs to be changed and they're making the right corrections. They need to show up at the beginning of the game. They need to own rebounding, which they did a good job of tonight against UTEP. And they, you know, need to hit open shots. It sounds, you know, really simple. When you're close to the basket and nobody's got a hand immediately in your face, you take a shot, it should be going in more times than it's not. That hasn't happened lately. And that's kind of a weird place to be in for a talented college basketball team because it's not something that you can just necessarily fix. That's something that shouldn't need fixing. You're, you know, quality players, talented players.
Here's my theory on the open shots.
Okay.
When UNLV is able to kind of enforce its will on teams where they're able to,
they're getting the transition game,
create aggressive defense, create some opportunities, they're getting easy looks at the basket in the fast break with numbers. Okay. They're beating them up the court. Guys are getting to their spots. They're getting set and they're getting open looks. Well, that hasn't happened the last whatever three games or three of the four games or whatever. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the field goal percentage tonight, it was 30
in the first half.
They made nine field goals.
31
in the first half. Embarrassing. Yeah. Okay. Against Wisconsin, 38%. Well, they're not getting to their spots. And let me tell you, the road struggles, if you look at it, okay, the Orleans games were all neutral sites.
Indirectly. Ish.
Okay, so they're 1-2 in true road games.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? It's no cakewalk winning in Laramie, winning at Air Force, winning at Colorado State. Even though those teams are considered middle of the pack, the bottom tier in the Mountain West, if this team needs to get an identity on the road, and we thought they had that after the Santa Barbara game.
There was a lot of energy. There was a lot of passion in that game, and that's been the most confusing thing for me. My first game covering this team was Wichita State. So if you want to, fans want to blame me, that's fair at this point. Because coming up after watching, the North Carolina game, after watching what happened in the Santa Barbara game, I didn't think that they would be this flat in, multiple games. This is now a stretch of that. And I don't understand necessarily. I get that traveling is difficult and going on the road. I've been to Wichita State before that. I know it's a tough place to play. Wisconsin, they may have been falling asleep on the bench. That place just lulls you to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
But, how did they do that at UC Santa Barbara? How did they get up for that in that way that they now can't?
Well, let me ask you this. How many teams in America, honestly, you're a bright guy. Semi-bright. How many teams in America go to Wichita State and Wisconsin and win both games?
Very few. I mean, we're talking probably a dozen.
A dozen. Okay, so you can't blame the loss. It's the manner in which they lost.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what we're talking about. Okay. Looking at this stretch beforehand, I thought this Illinois game was the most winnable.
Illinois wasn't supposed to be good at all.
If they were going to go 1-2, I figured, that was probably the one. But the fact that it was a 19-point loss at Wichita State where they just completely didn't show up, mm-hmm. and then the fact that the Wisconsin game was very similar, same kind of problems. That's, you know, got to be the frustrating part for fans, and even just for me watching them, hearing them that they say they're progressing, and, you know, kind of seeing that mm-hmm. in the little limited amount of time I've seen them practice, but then it just. It all of a sudden doesn't show up on a game day.
Yeah, and what shocked me with the Wisconsin game was 51 points, because ever since Rice was hired in April, we've heard, let's run.
Wisconsin does that, though. Wisconsin is the nation's leading scoring defense.
But 51 points?
That's what they
do. Dude, I always bet overs, okay? And the magic number at the sports book is 140. That's kind of like the peg number. Okay. And I always say, if I could get to 60, both teams combined in the first half, I'm in good shape, because I think you get a bucket per team per minute in the second half. Just common logic.
That's
interesting. This is 14 years since I was seven. Okay. More than that of if mathematically.
I'm taking gambling notes now. Yeah,
figuring this out. In the second half, and you factor in, you get a few threes, you're at the line. You should easily, and they only get 51 in the game,
What I want you to think about, it is Wisconsin. I believe the number was 44. That's what they give up per game. So imagine 51 bumped their average up. How absurd is that? They're holding teams in the 30s, the low 40s, like that, and that's, you know, what we're talking about. That loss isn't that bad that they lost. It's the way that they lost and the fact that there wasn't progress. And so that's what I'm looking for out of Illinois is progress. Quick, before we go, I wanted to just point out Carlos Lopez, great game tonight.
That move was sick, wasn't it?
He had the two up and unders. The kid, to me, is one of the most valuable guys right now, because just when I was trying to take notes, every time somebody was on the floor, he was the first one to go help him up. When there was a break in the game, he's the one huddling the guys together. You don't see that much out of a bench player, out of your energy guy. That's usually kind of the floor general, the team leader. He's kind of filling that role. And when I talked to him after the game, he said, you know, that's what he wants to do. All of those little things. I believe the quote he said was, that's what makes a good player into a great player.
Yeah, and believe it or not, when he came out of Finley Prep and last year at UNLV, a lot of people thought that he was a legit NBA prospect.
Wow.
And he was as lanky as you are.
Yeah,
he's put on a lot of muscle mass and a lot of weight. Speaking of personnel, what stood out for me, Anthony Marshall, let me tell you. I covered this kid in high school, and I've seen this kid practice significant amount of time. Practice, he never misses, dude. Never misses. UNLV career, every game, it's like, it's to the point where sometimes you think he's going to lose some confidence.
Yeah.
And I just cannot, for the life of me, I can't figure out why his great shooting in practice never translates into the games. 20 points today, 16 points in the second half, aggressively takes the ball to the basket. Just an uncharacteristic game for UNLV, though, only 11 assists. You know, Mike Mosier, he's got tape on the wrist. He's got tape off the wrist.
He didn't in the second half, then he came out with nothing. So I'm very curious. And this was what kind of led me to it. After the last game, Rice saying, you know, he's a lot more hurt than he's letting on. Every time I talk to Moser, he's kind of brushing it off, not a big deal. I think it might be something that he has to deal with the rest of the season, perhaps, because I don't know if that's something that just easily heals. But you can't just, you know, he's still getting double-digit rebounds without you even noticing. So he's still very valuable. It just takes that element out of their offensive game, which could be why they're struggling with that right now, is because you've all of a sudden taken a key piece out.
Mm-hmm. Interested to see how UNLV adjusts for Saturday. Forget the travel. Forget all those other factors. Right now, the book is out. Slow the ball down. They can't react. Let's see if they can impose their will against an Illinois team that, you're right, does occasionally like to push the ball.
Yeah.
Rebel Room, post-game edition for Taylor Byrne, our new beat reporter, who's now at 500, 2-2. I'm Ray Brewer. We'll talk to you guys after the next home game.